This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We've been in a series called The Fruit of the Spirit. How many people are walking in more fruit? Amen? Glory to God. God is so awesome. And, God's called us. God has a calling on each one of you. Amen? And his number one calling for the world is to receive Jesus, to have a relationship with the Lord. But his number one calling for the Christian is to bear good fruit. That's what we're called to do, is bear good fruit. Do you believe that? And I like this in John 15:16. It says that Jesus is speaking. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask in my Father in my name, he may give you." Amen. So the Lord has chose each one of us. You are chosen, and you're chosen to bear good fruit. And so I'm telling you, there's a lot of fruit to bear. Amen. And every session we've been in, I've been taking one fruit and just taking it and just trying to dissect it for you. And so that we can walk in greater fruit. In Galatians 5:22-25, our foundational scripture says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such there is no law." Amen. And that's powerful. Amen. And so that's a lot of fruit. Amen. But God wants us walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Do you believe that today? Amen. And so today we're going to focus on the fruit of gentleness, or the fruit of meekness. Amen. Amen. And gentleness is a benefit that I believe is a responding fruit. It's how we respond to things. And we need to be responding in a gentle manner. Amen. Gentleness is the quality of state of being gentle, especially mildness or manner or disposition. Amen. Another word for gentleness is meekness. Meekness. And, meekness, you've heard this before. Meekness isn't weakness, but it's strength under control. So you can be meek, but you can be firm. Amen. And you can be meek and you don't have to be mean. Amen. We don't want to be mean people. We want to be meek people. Amen. You know, a horse, a stallion, or when they're training horses to ride on horses, a lot of the horses are a lot of times are wild. And so you have to break the horse, and the horse has to be broken for the rider to ride on it. Amen. And so the horse is more powerful than the rider riding on the horse. Is that right? And that horse can buck that rider off. But the horse, has been tamed, and the horse has learned to control himself to allow the rider to be on it. The same thing with us. You know, we're kind of like, at times, we're kind of wild. Has anybody ever been wild out here? Your flesh has been wild, amen? And your flesh has to be tamed, because sometimes we want to go off. Has anybody ever wanted to go off in here? You know what? Lose your head. Amen. In other words, have a short fuse. Glory to God. And we don't want to be going off on people. Glory to God. We don't want to be cursing people. We want to be blessing people. Do you believe that today? And I believe that. So we need I like what it says in 1 Corinthians. It says, this is Paul. He's saying, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." This is interesting that Paul was a preacher of the gospel. He received a lot of revelation, but he was concerned that he could, walk in the flesh and miss the rewards that God has for him. And doesn't matter how long you've been in this walk, you still can miss it. It doesn't matter. None of us are perfect, but we can learn to respond the right way when things happen to us. Amen. I think fasting is a good way of helping us to stay and keep our bodies in control. And just put a plug in. We fast every Friday, and you're welcome to join us. If you're having problems with the flesh, it might help you. Amen. That's free today. Amen. And so the fruit of gentleness is is really powerful. And, you know, when you think about the fruit of gentleness, I think about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit doesn't coerce us, doesn't try to manipulate us. The Holy Spirit leads us. Amen? You know, when the Holy Spirit's speaking through a person, it's the Bible says it's edification, exhortation, and comfort. That sounds good to me. In other words, the Holy Spirit's not trying to tell us the wrong things that we're doing. The Holy Spirit's trying to tell us that we can be doing some right things. You believe that today? And so when Jesus was water baptized and Jesus was demonstrating his meekness under his cousin's ministry, John the Baptist, and Jesus got water baptized under John, even though Jesus is in a position higher than John. But Jesus was meek enough to get water baptized. Is that amazing? He submitted to a man's ministry. Jesus submitted before he got his own ministry. I want to say this. Before you get your own ministry, you have to submit to a man's ministry. Oh, I'm going somewhere. You have to learn to be submissive to a minister or a pastor. And then when you learn to submit, you'll learn to rule and reign with the Lord. And this is interesting when it was in Matthew 3:13-17, when Jesus was being water baptized by John, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus, and it came down like a dove. And it's interesting that the Holy Spirit, it didn't come down like an eagle, you know. It didn't come down like a hawk, amen. It came down like a dove. Amen. That's signifying a dove is gentle. And so the Holy Spirit is gentle and he will always deal with us in a gentle way. You believe that today? And think about Jesus. Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And what is a lamb? A lamb is gentle. A lamb doesn't fight. A lamb is gentle. And Jesus is called the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. That's interesting. Jesus is considered like two animals, the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When he came the first time, he was a lamb. He was meek. But when he comes the second time, he's coming to judge and rule and reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But Jesus, think about this, he's ever considered the Lamb of God. That's powerful. Even in the book of Revelation, the Lamb of God that's worthy to break the seals. Amen. He's the Lamb of God. And so Jesus is meek, but he's firm, glory to God. And I love that. So I love this because this talks about a little bit about Jesus and about, you know, a little bit about his character. Because in Matthew 11:28-30, this is a powerful scripture. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Did you catch that? Did you see what Jesus was describing himself as? He says, "I'm gentle and lowly in heart." That's powerful. And he says that if you hook up with me, it's not going to be hard. It's not, you know, some people say it's hard serving God. It really isn't. If you learn to just lay it all down for him, it gets easy. It's only hard when you're trying to do it in your own strength and in your own power. But when you're giving your life to God, God will make it easy. It should be easy to live this life for Jesus. When you get up every morning worshiping God, praising him, saying, "God, I want you in my life today. I want you to help me in my life today. Order my steps today. Help me to be all that you've called me to be today." I'm telling you, it gets easier. It gets sweeter and sweeter in our walk with Christ. It shouldn't be getting harder. Amen. And if it's getting hard, it's because we're trying to do it in our own strength. We're trying to walk this life in our own power. But I'm going to say this. You're walking this life in Holy Ghost power. Amen. Amen. You believe that today? Leave room for the Holy Ghost. And so he says here, I'm gentle and lowly. Amen. So hooking up with Jesus is easy. Glory to God. Moses was considered one of the meekest men on the earth. Moses was always praying and interceding for people when they sinned in the wilderness. The congregation of people that Moses had. People would come against Moses. And you know what Moses would do? He would pray for them. He would pray for people that came against him. That's powerful. That's meek. That shows humility. When somebody is coming against you and you pray for them, that shows that you're walking in meekness, that you're not trying to revenge yourselves, but you're allowing God to work in their lives. When you let go and let God work it out, God will work it out for your good. You believe that today? I love that. And so Moses interceded for the children of Israel, especially when they were worshiping that golden cow. Remember when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments and they were down there, and it was some time that passed, and they got a little, impatient, and then they made a golden cow, and they said the cow is the one that got them out of Egypt. I don't understand that. What I'm saying, I mean, God did all these miracles. How can they start worshiping a cow, a golden cow? It doesn't make sense to me. But Moses, God was so upset with the people. And Moses, because of his meekness, he prayed and he interceded for the people. Moses pleaded with the Lord in Exodus 32:11. It says, Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? And so Moses was able to talk to the Lord, and the Lord, forgave the people and ended up bringing them into the promised land. But it took a generation to die off before he could do that. But God did it. Amen. And so we need to, if we're going to be meek people, we need to be praying for those that possibly may do us wrong or they offend us at times. We need to pray them and say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because what is the devil trying to do to us? The devil's trying to get us offended. The devil's trying to get us upset with one another. And so listen, we all make mistakes. He who does nothing makes no mistakes. Amen. If you're doing nothing, you make no mistakes. But he who tries to do something will make a mistake every once in a while. Is that right? So, I mean, if you just don't do nothing, just stay home, don't do nothing, I guess you won't make too many mistakes. But those that endeavor to walk out this Christian life will at times make mistakes. We're not perfect, but we serve a perfect Savior that's helping us. Say, God is helping me to get better. So I want to give you a couple of things here that will help you in cultivating the fruit of meekness. A gentle or meek person, first and foremost, has to be submitted to the will of God. If you're going to be meek, you need to submit to God's will in your life. Amen? And so when you submit to God's word, when God's word tells you something, then you need to submit to it and obey it. Amen. If the Bible tells you to do something, then you need to just go and do it. And I'm telling you, you'll be blessed for it. A submissive person is a meek person, is a humble person. Amen? And I love that because even Jesus, in his walk, in his earthly walk, we say, well, Jesus is perfect, and he is. Jesus never sinned, but Jesus was tempted to sin. Do you know Jesus was tempted like us? And probably the greatest temptation that Jesus encountered in his entire life was in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was right before he got arrested to go get crucified. And he was in that garden and he was praying. And the Bible says that he was even sweating as if drops of blood because he was under such great pressure because he knew that he was going to go to the cross, and he knew that he was going to be separated from the Lord. And he prayed, and he said, nevertheless, not my will. See, he humbled himself. Meekness, and another word for meekness is humility. He humbled himself before God. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. There's going to be times in your life where you may not want to do something that God is telling you to do. There might be some areas in your life where you don't want to go there. But you need to say, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the person of humility. That's the person of meekness. Under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you. You believe that today? And I like what it says in Philippians, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a picture of him going to the cross and being submitted to the Father. And I'm telling you, this whole life is about being submitted to God. Amen. Our whole life is about being submitted to him and obeying him with a good attitude. Did I throw that in there? With a good attitude. Amen. You can obey God, but you can be angry doing it. Amen. But we don't want to be angry obeying God. We want to have a good attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, have a good attitude. And so I like this in Philippians 2, 1 and 8. This is powerful. It says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection or mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness, notice this, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Think about that. That's meekness. In lowliness of mind. In other words, you're not trying to make yourself look better than others. Amen. In other words, you're pushing other people up before you push yourself up. You let God push you up. You let God exalt you. In other words, you come into a place, you know, like a dinner that maybe you've been invited to. You don't take the front seat. You wait until they invite you to the front seat. That's what Jesus said. That's being meek and humble. And so he's saying here, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is where we're getting to. The mind of Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. Think about this. Jesus had all power and authority in heaven before he became a man. Jesus had it all. Amen. And he laid down all that he had to become a man and to live down here and live with people that aren't too nice at times. Jesus came to suffer humanity, to suffer what it's like to be a person down here, so that he could be our faithful high priest, so that he could represent us in heaven, so that he could feel the weaknesses that we feel at times. He feels our infirmities. He knows what we go through. He's a great and merciful high priest. We serve an awesome God. Glory to God. And so if you're going to be submissive, we need to be submissive. If we're going to be meek, we need to be submissive to the will of God. Number two, we need to learn to be, if we're going to be a gentle person or a meek person, we have to be a teachable person. Amen. Somebody say, I'm teachable. In James 1:21, the New Century Version says it this way, so put out your life every evil thing and every kind of wrong, then in gentleness, accept God's teaching that is planted in your hearts, which can save you. So it says here, in gentleness, accept God's teaching and that is planted in your hearts that can save or deliver you. So when we are listening to the Word of God, we need to listen to the Word of God in a gentle spirit. It's not like we're trying to pick out every wrong thing the pastor's saying. Amen. Oh, I'm going to come in and I'm going to just see how good the pastor is going to preach, and I'm going to see where he's going to miss it, and I'm going to make a note where he messed up. No. It's receiving with gentleness. It's you know, there's no perfect pastor. And amen. There's no perfect person. Only Jesus is perfect. Amen. But hopefully the pastor's endeavoring to be perfect. Hopefully you're endeavoring to be perfect. Amen. And so he says, with gentleness, receive the word of God. I love that. In Proverbs 13:18, it says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. I don't know about you, but I don't want poverty and shame to be in my life. I don't want to refuse instruction. You're here today because you want to learn more about God. You're smart enough to say, I need more God in my life. I need a greater understanding of who God is. I need to walk closer with God today. I got to have more of God. I love that. And so when you do that, you will have prosperity and blessing when you honor the Word of God. A gentle person is not a know-it-all that perceives that there is more, a gentle person perceives there is more room for them to grow in knowledge. So don't ever get to a point where you think you know it all. I'm going to say that because we don't. In 1 Corinthians, Paul the apostle was one of the greatest apostles raised up by Jesus Christ. He received visions from heaven. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament doctrine that the Lord Jesus spoke to him. He had revelation beyond most ministers. And the Apostle Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians. This is powerful. He says, if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Amen. Paul is saying, if you think you know something, you don't really know anything. You don't think what you need to know. In other words, there's more for you to know. In Corinthians 13:12, it says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. What is he saying here? He's saying that we're not going to know everything. That this walk is a walk of faith. We take it day by day. And whatever God reveals to us, that's good. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to us that we may not know in ourselves. And that's to direct us and to guide us and to lead us into all truth. Amen. And we're not going to see everything perfect. We're not going to know why things happen to people. The secret things belong to God, the Bible says. But those that are revealed to us and our children forever. And so God will reveal some things to us at times. But there's other times that God may not reveal things to us until we get to heaven. Don't worry about the things that God's not revealing to you. Just stand in the truth that God is revealing to you. So a gentle person is teachable. A gentle person stays humble in their calling while relating to others. Sometimes when a person gets a call of God on their life and they're operating in their giftings, they at times can walk in pride. One of the greatest things or the worst thing that can happen to a minister is that a minister starts getting in pride with his gifts. Or a person that has giftings that God has called to a church to exercise in the church. Don't get so high and mighty in the gift that God has given you. Stay humble, amen. Don't think that because you have a gift, now everybody has to bow down to you, amen. No. God gives you the gift, but if you want to keep that gift, you have to stay humble, amen. I like what it says in Ephesians, and we need to be treating people right in our gifts. I'm going to say that again. You need to treat people right in your giftings. And it says here in Ephesians 4:1-2, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called with all, notice this, with all lowliness and gentleness. So he's saying that if you're called, that you're supposed to walk in lowliness and gentleness in the Spirit with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's powerful. So this is saying in your call, stay low in your estimation of yourself. Don't think that you're this great person that God has raised up and God can't do without you. I'm going to say this, that we're all expendable. Amen. God can replace us. Don't think you can't be replaced. Amen. Saul thought he couldn't be replaced. Saul, the first king in the Bible, you know, thought he could do it his way, but there was a replacement, and that was David. God took a humble shepherd boy, a humble, meek shepherd boy to take out Goliath, to take out a man that was, you know, a manly man. You know, Goliath would have been considered a manly man. And David was this, you know, harp player. You know, he was this musician, you know, that worshiped God on the back hills taking care of sheep. And this humble shepherd took out Goliath. I'm telling you, the meek shall inherit the earth, the Bible says. So again, meekness isn't weakness, it's strength under control. And he says here, in your calling, stay lowly and gentle, bearing with one another. Amen. Consider the feelings of others in your position that God has placed you in. I love that. You know, when you're walking in gentleness, you overlook people's mistakes. You overlook people's sins. When you're walking in gentleness, you know, in Luke 15, it's the story of the lost son. And Jesus talks about two sons. One wanted his inheritance, and the father gave the inheritance to both sons. And then that one son, the wayward son, went out and moved away and partied with all that money that he got from his father. And he ended up in want. He ended up destitute. He blew it all in Vegas. Amen. And so he ended up coming to himself and said, man, you know, my dad has hired servants. And I'm being, you know, he was working for some guy that owned pigs. And he was looking at the corn and the pigsty and thinking that he wanted to eat that. And he thought, my dad has servants that he treats better than this. He said, I'm going to go back and tell my dad I'm a sinner, that I'm not even worthy to be called his son. You know, he said, I'm going to just ask him if I could just be a servant. And that's the way we need to be with the Lord. We need to be humble. And we need to be saying, Lord, make me your, I know I'm a son, but help me to be a servant of the Most High God. And so he came to his father, and his father saw him far off and ran towards him and did not tell him what a bad son he was. He kissed him and he hugged him. And his son tried to tell him, I'm not worthy to be your son. And he said, take the robe. Take the ring. My son was dead, and now he's alive. And you know what? The man had mercy. The father had mercy. Anytime you turn from God, turn to God from your sin, God will have mercy on you. He will have his grace on your life. I'm telling you, one step to God, gives you two steps back to you. You believe that? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And so the father did not bring up the sin of the son. And when somebody does you wrong, you know, you don't keep bringing up their sin. If they ask forgiveness, if they're asking, if they're repenting, then you need to let it go and let God. Amen. Can I get a revelation in? Can you get a revelation out of that? Let go and let God. And so that's powerful. Proverbs 17:19 says it this way, and this is what a meek person does. A meek person, it says here, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Amen. So if somebody does you wrong and they ask forgiveness, let it go and don't bring it up again. Just let it go, because it just brings up a wound, and letting it go, not rehearsing the curse, just let it go. Somebody say, let it go. Amen. So I'm going to give you some key things to chew on this morning that's going to help you walk in gentleness. Gentleness helps others that are struggling in sin. In other words, if you see a person that's doing something wrong, or their lifestyle is not like it's supposed to be, then a gentle person will not tell them, you're going to go to hell over this. They might, but you're not going to try to enforce hell on them. You're going to try to draw them into the kingdom of heaven. You want to walk in love and not give them, you know, the alternative. Amen. Turn or burn, you know. Sometimes that doesn't work sometimes. Most people get offended when you start telling them turn or burn. Amen. In other words, in Galatians 6, 1 and 4, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such as one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we don't want to have a superiority, you know, attitude towards trying to bring somebody closer to God. Oh, look at me. I'm doing all these. I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't sin like that. Well, you know, you better be careful, because you don't know the temptations and the pressure that the devil's putting on people. And if that same pressure and temptation was on you, you'd probably fall worse. Amen. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. Amen. So you don't know what pressure people are under. And so that's why we don't want to be judging people. We want to be praying for people. It says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. For anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, then he will have rejoicing himself alone, not in another. So we must guard against pride in restoring someone back to Jesus Christ. Number two, a gentle person forgives others. If you are a gentle person, you're going to be forgiving. You're going to let bygones be bygones. You're going to bury the hatchet. Amen. It says here in Galatians 3, 12 and 13, therefore, as elected of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Amen. Amen. This is powerful. He says here that we need to be walking in kindness and humility, meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another. Glory to God. We need to bear with other people, because not everybody's perfect and not everybody does things that you like. And there's going to be some times that people are going to do things that you don't like, but the Bible says bear with them. Say, I'm bearing with them. Amen. And God can give you the grace to do that. And so we need to learn to be forgiving people. If we're going to be gentle, we learn to forgive. If we're going to be gentle, gentleness is the optimal way to bring correction. Amen. And it says here in 2 Timothy 2, 24-26, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition in God. Perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to do his will. So here, the Lord is saying that people that are going against God's word are being captivated by the devil. And so again, it takes a gentle answer to bring them, a lot of times, back into the kingdom. And I'm telling you, gentleness always works. I want to say this, gentleness works in marriage. Oh, it's quiet in here. Gentleness works in marriage. I'm telling you, we got to be gentle with one another while we're married to one another. Amen? It says, wives, you know, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. And some of the wives said, I don't like that verse. But then it says, in Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives. And the husband might say, I don't like that verse. Listen, if the husband's loving the wife doesn't have a problem to be submissive to the husband. Amen? If the husband's truly loving the wife, giving her fur coat, whatever she wants. Amen. If the husband is loving the wife, then the wife shouldn't have a problem submitting to the husband. Glory to God. And so it works hand in hand. Wives submit, husbands love. And when that's working in synergy, then that makes a beautiful relationship for the married couples. Gentleness should be our conduct. Should be our conduct. Amen? I love that. Should be our conduct. And it's the wisdom of God. Gentleness is the wisdom of God. In James 3, 17 and 18, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you a peacemaker? Are you making peace with people in your lives? Are you? I'm a peacemaker. I want peace in my life. I want to have peace between people that I have relationships with. I'm a peacemaker. Somebody say, I'm a peacemaker. And if you're going to be meek, you're going to be a peacemaker. Number six, gentleness. We need to be gentle in witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be hard and strong and trying to get people saved. I think you get more with honey than vinegar. I'm going to say again, you get more with honey than vinegar. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Notice this, yet with gentleness and reverence. This is Peter at 1 Peter. And he's saying in witnessing, you should always be witnessing in gentleness and reverence. That's powerful. That's powerful. So that tells me that love is a greater drawing force than anger and resentment. Love is a greater drawing force. It's the love of God that brings men. To repentance. It's the grace of God that brings men to repentance. You believe that today? And I believe that it's God's love. And God's love is in us. Amen? And this is the Apostle Paul's attitude towards witnessing. Another scripture we have here in 1 Corinthians 9:9-22. For though I'm free from all men, I made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. To a Jew, I become a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, I'm under the law through not being myself under the law so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, through not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak, I become weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, so that I might be all means save some. Now, Paul is not saying that he's joining the sinful crowd, but he's saying that he's relating to those that might be in sin. See, we all came out of it. We all came out of a sinful lifestyle. We've been there. We know what it's like to be in sin. And when you were in sin, you didn't even realize it. When you were far from God, you had no idea you were far from God. When you were living your life worldly in sin, you were a void from God in your life. And then it took a person of love to speak to you about the love of God. And that God wants you in heaven. And that God wants you blessed. And the love of God will draw all men to himself. If we lift up Jesus, Jesus will draw all men. And Jesus is love. Jesus is meek. Jesus is humble. And as we allow humility and meekness and gentleness work in our lives, it will affect everybody around us, and it will help us to build the kingdom of God for his glory. Amen. Say this, I'm walking in gentleness. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Father God, for these precious people out here. And maybe you've never confessed the lordship of Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation, and today is a day that you can receive Jesus. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. So if you're ready to receive Jesus today, listening or watching, just say this out loud and mean it in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead to save me. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.